Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 18 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, today's show is going to be jam-packed with volleyball. Of course, last night was the big Jaghawk showdown over at Ankeny, and second-ranked Ankeny Centennial came away with a sweep over Ankeny in three sets. In a little while, we'll be talking to Ankeny coach Joe Morton about his team's performance and where they go from here. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. She is the only coach that Ankeny Centennial has ever had. She has led them to three state titles, and they're on another great season right now. Of course, it's Jessica Reinhardt. Jessica, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks.
Well, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. Well, congratulations on the win over Ankeny. You know, how would you assess your team's play?
Overall, I was really happy with our play. I thought we executed a game plan great, and we haven't had many opportunities to put in a scouting report the day before and then implement it the next day. And so that was one thing I was looking for, to see if this group could do that. And I thought the things that we wanted to accomplish in that game, we did. So I was very pleased with how that went.
Well, Kenna Sauer led the Jaguars with 15 kills, and she now has a team high 291 on the season. I know it took her a long time to recover from that leg injury last year, but boy, right now she just looks better than ever, doesn't she?
She does. I was going to say she's back and better than ever, just what you said, but she looks fantastic. She's such a competitor. Games like last night is where she thrives. When the pressure's on, Kenna's her best, and we call it beast mode, and that's where she went to last night, and she had a phenomenal match.
Well, I know Kenna is pretty determined to close out her career with another state title. It seems like she has really, you know, become a leader this year, even on a team with so many talented players. You know, would you agree with that?
I would agree. The team definitely looks to her, especially in those tight moments. We can count on her to put a ball away. And we've worked with Kenna to be more vocal throughout the match to keep us moving forward. And I think we saw that last night, and I was really happy with that.
Well, one area that your team struggled in a little bit against Ankeny was your serving. You guys served only 87% for the night due to eight serving errors, but you did make up for it somewhat with eight aces. You know, are you okay with that ratio of aces to errors, or would you prefer to be a little bit better than that?
Well, that is typical Ankeny match, and every team, we've had our most serving errors in the Ankeny Centennial game. So I was mentally prepared for the errors to come, but it's funny because a lot of people had mentioned how many errors we had. I knew it was going to happen, so I wasn't too disturbed by it. I did like that we served aggressive. I did like that we caused problems for their passers, and eight aces is great for us. Down the stretch, when we're into the regional run and at the state tournament, we can't afford to miss that many serves, so it'll be a point of emphasis, just being aware of when we can go for it and when we need to have a good, solid serve. But I think for last night's match, the eight aces I'll take along with the errors, because I knew they were coming.
Do you think those errors were more because of your aggressiveness, or was there some jitters on the part of the girls?
It's just a high-pressure match, and a lot of our teams have even mentioned that that's a harder match to play in than state, because they know everybody in the gym. At state, there's at least half the people in the gym that they don't know, so it's a high-pressure match. The environment's intense, and different than state, too. Like, everybody's right next to the floor, so I think some of it was pressure, and I think some of it was, you know, they were trying to get Ankeny out of system and create problems on the other side.
What'd you think of the crowd last night? Well, it was a great crowd, wasn't it?
It was awesome. Yeah, I love the atmosphere. And throughout this season, we've had really great crowds at Centennial, and I knew going into this match that the crowd would be huge. But I love how much this town supports volleyball. I love how much the youth is involved. And last night was just a really fun atmosphere for our girls to play in.
Well, your team is now 29-2 on the season, and you've clinched at least a share of the CIML Central Conference title. Your only losses were to top-ranked Cedar Falls at the Centennial Invitational on August 26th, and then to number 3 Valley at the Urbandale Invitational on Saturday. You know, do you kind of feel like maybe Cedar Falls, Centennial, and Valley, you know, are kind of on one level in Class 5A above everybody else?
I certainly think, yeah, those three, you know, the three of us are very tough. I wouldn't say we'd take anybody else lightly. You know, there's Cedar Rapids Jefferson that we've seen that's very good, and other teams throughout the season. But Valley and Cedar Falls both have huge athletes and huge hitters that can terminate balls. And that is, I guess, maybe a little bit different than what you see after our squad or after number 3 Valley. is having that Division I athlete or a couple Division I athletes that can really put the ball away.
Well, of course, Cedar Falls is the defending champion, and the Tigers weren't ranked number one in the preseason, but they have yet to lose a set this year, so they're obviously on a mission to defend their title. You know, you mentioned their hitters, but, you know, what else makes them so good?
They've got a phenomenal setter. They're big. They're physical like we are, and I think when you watch them play, they really want it. And after we won state title, we had a group come back the next year that was on such a mission, and a group that we didn't know if they could win a state title, but they were on a mission to accomplish it, and they did. So I think they have it in their bones now. You know, they saw what it was like to win a title, and they want the same thing. So I think Cedar Falls is skilled, and then I think they play with a lot of passion, and I think that's what makes them tough.
Well, your team was missing Devin Robinson, you know, when you lost to Cedar Falls because she was playing with the USA youth volleyball team in Honduras. You know, I imagine she might make a little bit of a difference if you were to see them again, huh?
Yes, we like to think she would. She was phenomenal and big and physical. We think she would cause problems for their hitters at the net with her block, which is something that will help us. And I guess all we want to do is have that chance to play him again, you know, keep fighting our way all the way through and hopefully get an opportunity to see him down at state.
Well, then you guys are obviously very familiar with Valley, which defeated you in last year's semifinals. Your team defeated the Tigers twice earlier this season before losing to them at the Urbandale tournament. Now, are you going to be glad when Maddie Kubik finally graduates?
Cannot wait. However, she has four sisters, so there's another one.
Oh, wow.
And then they're going to just keep coming. And I don't want to hear that name, but it's going to come up. But, yeah, it feels like Maddie's been there forever. And obviously she's good and can do some damage.
Well, it's going to be tough for her sisters to live up to what she's done. You know, are they all pretty good, too?
They are. I guess the freshman that's on the court with her now has already had offers from Nebraska and Missouri, maybe.
Oh, wow.
So, yep, they're good athletes, good volleyball players.
Well, I see that the regional pairings are out now, and your team will host Roosevelt in a semifinal on October 23rd, and then you would host one of the Sioux City schools in the final on October 29th. You know, are you happy with your draw, considering that, you know, you won't see a ranked opponent in the regional play?
Yeah, I think... when it came out yesterday, the girls had it pulled up on the bus, and they feel good about it and confident about it. And yeah, I think we are in a good position to take care of what we need to.
Sure. Well, now the state tournament pairings wouldn't be determined until after regional play, but you know, as it stands now, you know, it appears that Cedar Falls is kind of headed towards that number one seed, and you guys in Valley might be the 2 and 3 seeds, you know, in some order. Probably depends on how the rankings fall this week. You know, so we could have a rematch, you know, of last year's, you know, tournament, basically, with you guys in Valley in the semifinals. I know you probably don't want to look that far ahead, but, you know, if you had to go through Valley and then Cedar Falls, that'd be a tough challenge, wouldn't it?
It would be extremely tough, but it would be no different than our home tournament, and we had to go through Valley, and then we had to play Cedar Falls in the finals. So if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, and we're going to prepare for them and hopefully have the opportunity to play both of them and see what we can do.
Well, one of the keys to your team's success this season has been the play of Riley Morgan, your setter. She's dished out over 700 assists. She also leads the team with a .513 hitting percentage. Now, I know you said before the season started that she was one of the state's, you know, best setters, but has she been even better than you, you know, thought she'd be?
I mean, I think she's great, and I thought she was great this summer when I saw her. I mean, I thought she's been a great setter all along in our program, and I've always been excited for the opportunity for her to run our team. And she's taken it and doing, you know, what I would hope she would do, which is great things. So I think she has been phenomenal. I think she's given us great leadership. We've moved our lineup around a couple times, especially with Devin back, still trying to figure out how we're best. And I think she's managed that well, because as a setter, it's hard because pieces are then moving and rotations are moving and people are in different spots when you're setting them. And I think she's managed it all really well. And I think when we settle in and this is your lineup, Riley, I think she's going to be able to get the right hitters the ball at the right time. She's been very offensive, you know, with a .518 hitting percentage. That's a great attack percentage.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's making smart choices with when to dump. She's got a great serve. I trust her 100% on the court to make good decisions and to lead us. And I love watching her do her thing, and I love that she has the opportunity to do this.
Well, that shows how strong your program has been, because she was kind of a role player last year. You know, she didn't play all the time, and then now she steps in, and she's one of the state's best players. That says a lot for your program.
It does, and, you know, the fortunate part is a lot of our players just have their senior year to play. But also with that, they embrace it, I think, and get everything that they can out of the opportunities when they get to play. And there is a lot of depth, and it's hard to break your way into the lineup, but I've been really impressed with what our players do when they get that opportunity.
Now, probably the biggest key to your team's success, though, has been that guy who stands, you know, near your bench every night. I believe his name is Barack Olama. Now, you wouldn't be where you're at without him, right?
We would not. He's so great. He brings us all kinds of good juju, and he wins big points. Sarah rubs his ear when we really need the big one, and he's come through.
So was that Kenna that came up with that idea, or was it her mom?
No, it was Kenna. I mean, her mom bought the llama. Kenna's always loved the llama, so it's just kind of become like a staple. Every season we have had a mascot develop, and we've ended up taking them to state, and they go along on our journey. So I think the llama is 100% perfectly fitting for this team.
Well, now I saw the feature story on you guys and Barack on KCCI last week. So Devin doesn't like him. Is that the deal?
That's not exactly true.
Oh, that was just kind of made
up. I think they were looking for some drama there.
I was going to say, maybe you need to get in there and play a peacemaker between those two. So.
No, they're all good. That was more for his story.
Well, that's good. Well, looking ahead now, your team will play in the Westside Invitational on Saturday at Cedar Rapids Jefferson. And I heard you say last week that this might be the toughest tournament that you'll play in this year. So who do you expect to run into over there, you know, in addition to Jefferson?
You know, I probably should have looked. And I have looked, but I don't exactly remember. I know Lynn Mars over there. And some of the Eastern opponents. Who do we face over there usually? Oh, Dyke New Hartford comes every year. And yeah, I mean, it's usually we play top 10 opponents all day long. And so we're excited. That's good preparation leading up to state. Yeah, Cedar Rapids, Jeff, we've faced a couple times this year and they're talented.
All right. Well, then on October 15th, your team will host Omaha Marion. Marion. In your final match of the regular season, and that should be another good tune-up for postseason play. Now, how does Marion compare to the Omaha Scott Catholic team that you guys swept earlier this season?
Well, both Scott and Marion have won. They were defending state titleists, and Marion was class 5A, and Scott was 4A. And we played Marion last year, and they were very good, like physical, had a great setter, ran a ton of slides on us. So I think they would be comparable to Scott. I'm not sure how many people they graduate. I know they graduated quite a few last year, but they're very disciplined. They play hard. They know how to win. They come from a winning program. So those matches are fun, and that's a match where we don't have a ton to lose. You know, opposite state. It's not going to affect our ranking, but just an opportunity to play really good competition leading up to state. And we either win the match or they expose some things that we need to work on to get ready for state. So for me, those kind of matches are win-win.
Well, I know you said after the loss to Valley last week that you're still excited about your team's potential. So what are some areas that you're looking to improve in, you know, as you head towards the tournament play?
Well, the first one is going down the tournament stretch. You just got to play clean volleyball. So the service errors, the, you know, runs that we let teams get on with service leave, those things need to be cleaner if you want to win the whole thing. The next thing is we've got to put an emphasis on defense. Defense wins championships. The more balls we keep off the floor, the more opportunities we have. I think everybody knows we've got big hitters and we can put a ball away. So how many times can we stop an opponent? So I think if we can get our block going with our defense and pick up 5 more balls a match against Valley than we did last time, we're putting ourselves in a better position to win.
All right, Jessica, well, I know you probably got to head off to practice, so I'm going to cut you loose here. But thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time and everything you do.
You bet. All right. Well, right now we want to talk to David Vaughn. He is an insurance agent here at Iowa Realty. David, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, I just had a few questions for you today. Why don't you tell me who is Home Services Insurance?
Well, basically, we're just we're an independent agency inside Iowa Realty. Basically, we work with people that are purchasing homes. Basically, just help them find the most appropriate coverage at the lowest possible cost.
All right. Well, why is Home Services Insurance, you know, different from other companies?
We're on the broker side of things. We're not a direct writer. I have worked for the direct writer, so a little bit different. How we are different on the direct writer from a direct writer is we have the ability to shop with several companies. Direct writers basically work for one company, so they have one product to offer. We have more. So we're able to shop several different companies. Obviously, you can get the best premium. And then we have the ability to reshop every year as well, where so if the rates change or at renewals, we're able to go back and reshop it. It's a free service we do, so just gives people peace of mind that they have the best rate.
All right, so what products do you guys offer?
We have several different properties or policies we can write. We do rental properties. We do, obviously, home and auto. We do umbrellas, basically all the toys, you know, RVs, motorcycles, boats, watercraft, all that stuff. So.
All right. And what's the best way for people to contact you?
At the office here. My office number is 515-453-5002.
All right, David. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thank you, sir.
All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office here at Iowa Realty will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home's worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Well, right now we want to bring in our second guest. He is the head coach of the Ankeny volleyball team. He is Joe Morton. Joe, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Could be a little better if we'd have got a good win last night, but it happens.
You guys obviously had a tough match. I know you didn't get the outcome that you wanted. What do you think was the difference in the match?
Well, a couple of things. We just didn't play very consistent, like I talked about last night a little bit. You know, against Centennial, they're a great team, a lot of solid talent. They put some pressure on us by taking big swings, both at the service line and at the net. We were unable to return that, you know, so, of course, we had to play on our heels for most of the night. And if we could have just got a little momentum rolling in that third, I think it might have been a difference, but we just kind of came out flat. And we'll look forward to hopefully a matchup with them again at the state tournament.
Well, your team had a four-point lead in the first set and a six-point lead in the second set before the Jaguars rallied. You know, I'm sure you feel like it would have been a different match if you could have held on to win at least, you know, one of those first two sets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we got into this mindset of playing safe rather than playing to win. And, you know, we've shown to do that quite a bit this season where we play not to lose rather than playing to win. And the safe mentality came out where we didn't want to make the errors, cost our team the points, those kind of things. And, you know, in a match like that, we can't gamble. We just have to go out and take big rips and see what happens. And you know, it was tough to get them out of that mindset, and the safe mode kind of hurt us.
Well, then in that third set, Centennial jumped out to an 11-4 lead and then kind of cruised to the win. And I know, you know, volleyball is kind of a game of momentum. You know, did you sense at that point that your girls, you know, were kind of down after those first two sets? It just seemed like, you know, Centennial wasn't going to give that momentum back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we took that and we talked to them a little bit in a couple of timeouts we called about just playing for some pride and just trying to regain some momentum to move on to, you know, this weekend in Bettendorf where it's a strong tournament again and you know, in Johnston next week to lock in at least a second place finish in the conference. You know, and the momentum can carry through to the state tournament. Going out there and winning a few more points that third set would have probably helped us out as far as mentality goes if we meet them again in the state tournament. But, you know, again, the girls kind of just shut down. They thought it was over. You know, and again, we're playing number two team in the state, so it's tough to let them get like that. And I think this is a good learning moment where we can take that as an opportunity to get better for the rest of the season.
What'd you think of the crowd last night?
Of course, it's, you know, not being a part of the Incan community growing up, I said this is just why we coach. I was talking to our boys basketball coach, and him and I were talking about this is the reason why we're in Ankeny, and this is the reason why we coach here. And that makes that game so much more fun, not only for myself, but I think the kids too. The experience, the atmosphere, it's almost uncomparable to anything else I've been a part of as a coach. So it's phenomenal.
It was just a great advertisement for, you know, the sport of volleyball in this community, wasn't it?
It is, absolutely. And it's just a true testimony to, you know, what this community is about volleyball and their passion for it and the support we get not only from our parents but the community. You know, all of our businesses here in town support us very well. It's just phenomenal as a community.
Well, your team is now 23-11 on the season and 3-1 in the conference. And you guys had won seven straight matches, you know, coming into the match, you know, last night. Going into it, were you pretty confident last night?
Well, we felt pretty good. We knew we had to do what we needed to do. Our game plan was solid. I think we just couldn't quite get into it and maintain it. Like I said, the inconsistency is what got us. When we were inside of our game plan and executing properly, we were fine. And points were going to be a battle back and forth. We maintained that. When we got outside of the game plan, you know, we let them have those little 3- and 4-point runs in the first and second set that were enough to put us away. And then the third set, we couldn't get into the game plan at all. And it, you know, it showed there with that bigger loss.
Well, your team has now lost to number two Centennial as well as to number three Valley, which has beaten you three times. And I know you haven't played number one Cedar Falls, but do you kind of feel like, you know, those three teams are maybe one level ahead of, or one level above everybody else in 5A?
Well, I think all three of those teams bring something that we don't right now to the table, and I think it's physicality. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, that 6-foot-tall, 160, 170-pound girl that's just, you know, a little bit of corn-fed Midwestern girl. We don't have that right now. We're a little bit smaller in the size, so we have to play with a little more mentality and smarts. A couple of physical kids on our side would be a big difference. I mean, obviously Fiona fits that bill, but you know, we're a little bit undersized on the outside. So if we can maintain our ball control and stuff, we can play with anybody. It's just a matter of if we can maintain that consistency.
Well, yeah, when you look at that Centennial squad, they just have so many weapons. You know, you've got a heck of a lineup when your third and fourth options are, you know, Devin Robinson and Megan Lively, huh?
Right, yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. They can afford to have a girl that's not playing real well in a night, knowing that there's going to be two or three other girls that can pick up the pace for them, where we can do the same thing to a certain degree, but we're limited in that aspect where we can't put up quite the same numbers. We have a couple girls that can, and then we have some other girls that can contribute, you know, good points for us, but maybe not quite to the same level. I just think it comes down to ball control, and that's our name of our game. We just got to stay there.
Well, let's talk about your team a little bit. Junior Isabel Vosick leads your team with more than 250 kills. Boy, she's really stepped up this year, hasn't she?
Well, yeah, you know, Bell's played in the middle for us for 2 years now, and we made the decision this year to transition to the right side, not only for, you know, our team this season, but I think that's Bell's best interest for her long-term success in the collegiate career, hopefully. And it's just an opportunity for us to get her the ball more often. She's a dynamic athlete that can make a lot out of a little. So the more sets we can get her, the better. If we're out of system, we can get her the ball, and it really allows us the opportunity to just put pressure on teams and still attack. So, yeah, she's been great for us this season.
When you mentioned Fiona, of course, we can't talk about, you know, your individuals without mentioning her. She's a sophomore setter who is committed to play for Notre Dame. Now, I know you guys, you know, played well at a tournament earlier this year, you know, when she was out of the lineup, but she really takes her team to a different level, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. I mean, she's just so big and physical herself. You know, net play makes a big difference, and she can be so surprisingly good at the net. She can attack second balls as well as, you know, some hitters can, you know, on third sets or third ball. And you know, if we have a average pass, she can turn that into a great set. So, I mean, she really can take our team and make lemonade out of lemons. And that's, you know, it's hard to pass that up, especially in the setter's position when they're the quarterback or the volleyball court or whatever you want to call it. And she does make us a little more dynamic in a lot of ways.
I don't know if I've seen another setter, you know, this year who can take that set when you guys put it up there by the net and she puts it away instead of, you know, setting it for one of her teammates. It's almost unstoppable, isn't it?
Right. You know, and we work on that a lot, and she's been really good this season about trying to understand her matchups and understanding when the middle blockers or the outside blockers are you know, committing to her. And if she sees that, she gets that ball to Bell, and that has a lot to do with why Bell's got so many kills. If they don't, she's going to make you pay. And so teams really have to put a little more time into their game plans with us just because Fiona herself can be such an aggressive attack for us.
Well, I thought you guys got a nice spark last night from another sophomore, McKenna Scheib, whose playing time has steadily increased this season. You know, I think she could be a big factor for you guys down the stretch, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, McKenna's the same thing. She's just a young kid, super dynamic athlete. Her dad was on the state championship team here at Ankeny for basketball back in the 90s, and, you know, she comes from a lineage of some athletic talent. So she's got that piece. The game was a little bit quick for her early in the season. Now that we've got her some reps in practice and game times, I think she's really starting to pick up the pace, and she makes our matchups a lot better. You know, she's just such a strong athlete herself.
Yeah, I actually covered her dad's teams back in the day. That tells you how old I am, huh?
Sure. We won't talk about that too much. I neglected to say what year in the 90s that was to help you out there.
Well, hey, the regional pairings are out now, and your team will host Marshalltown or Cedar Rapids, Washington in a semifinal on October 23rd. And then you would host one of a couple of CIML teams, Ames or Southeast Polk, in the final on October 29th. You know, are you happy with your draw?
Yeah, I think we finally got some respect that we deserve. And you know, in the past, a few times, I think the state's kind of passed us over in that department. I think this is a fair drawing. We've competed well. We've had a strength of schedule that really nobody in the state can match. You know, sitting on 11 losses now, but majority of those, if not all of them, except for one or two, have been to 5A and 4A ranked teams for the most part. And so our girls have been out competing hard. You know, win or lose, my girls have played a schedule that nobody can rival. And I think finally the state gave us a little respect on that and said, you know, these kids deserve they deserve a fair pairing, and we're happy with it. Not to say that those teams aren't good and can't do something about it. So we've got to be prepared and still looking to get better every day until we get to the tournament. So,
of course, if you guys do make it to state, the state tournament pairings won't be determined until after regional play. But as it stands now, it appears that Cedar Falls would get the number one seed. It looks like Centennial and Valley are maybe fighting it out for those 2 and 3 seeds. And, you know, in a form holds, you guys are ranked 6th right now. You, right. You could be looking at a first-round matchup against either Centennial or Valley. I imagine you guys would relish another shot at either one of those teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, the ultimate goal would be to try to get as many of our CML teams in the semifinals. You know, I think that's is the most important to us. 2 years ago, you know, we had 3 out of the 4 teams in the semis were from CML in our conference at that point. I'd like to see that again. However, I mean, we'd always take a shot at, you know, a first-round upset against Valley or Centennial. Either one, I think we match up well with them if we can play our game the way we're supposed to. You know, we were excited about it. And I think there was just a little too many distractions last night, so we'd really like to take a shot at him in a different scenario. But again, you know, the more teams we can get in the semifinals, the CIML, that's what's more important to me. So I'd rather see someone from Eastern Iowa in our quarters if we could.
Well, you guys have already seen Valley three times. They have a great player in Matty Kubik. You know, what would be the key to beating them if you saw them again?
Well, our belief in Matty Kubik is one thing. You're not going to stop her. So let her score points. Just try to slow her down and don't let anybody else on that team beat you. We match up well with them from a standpoint that we have Isabel and Fiona both on the right side. So we put up a nice block against Maddie and her sister Hayden, who's just a solid and a strong kid herself, where we can beat Valley a lot of times is in the middle. They don't have quite the same middle game that we do. Both McKenna, Riley Kenworthy, or Sarah McCullough can tear teams up in the middle of the net. That's our matchup, and if we can get to that against Valley, then we can slow down and maintain Maddie's scoring, and we're good.
Well, looking ahead to this week now, your team will play in the Bettendorf Invitational on Saturday. Do you think that'll be a good tune-up for you guys, you know, for postseason play?
Well, there's a lot of good teams, some teams we don't get to see a lot, which is the nice thing. We like going to that tournament for that reason. You know, two things with that. It's good tournament. Lots of talent. The better thing, I think, in our opinion for us at the postseason, it kind of becomes a great team bonding event. So we leave on Friday night. You know, the last couple of years we've caught a haunted house on Friday night, play on Saturday, and then we try to catch the Iowa volleyball match on the way home. So it really becomes an entire weekend. It's a nice culmination of the season. It gets the girls an opportunity to bond. And, you know, of course, we've won it the last 2 years, so we've played well too. It kind of gets some momentum in that team bond and really buy in right before the regional pairings come up or start playing, I guess.
Well, you guys obviously aren't where you want to be, you know, as a team yet. You know, what are the areas that you're looking to improve in as you head towards tournament play?
Well, obviously ball control. And we know that we're the smaller team, one of the smallest teams to be in the state tournament. So we know we're going to have to focus on that ball control piece. We're going to have to serve and pass extremely well. I mean, that's generally the name of the game. If we can serve and pass well, our offensive systems are good enough to terminate the ball on a pretty regular basis. And I think our defensive side of the ball has been good. So right now my biggest focus is going to be on the blocking piece. We haven't spent a lot of time on that. We need to get our block a little more consistent. And I think if we can get to that point, our defense will shine again. And when we get to that point, then we'll be able to run with most teams.
Now, as you get ready to prepare for that first, you know, tournament match, you do have more time to practice than you do during the regular season because you're playing more matches there during the regular season.
Right.
Is that practice time pretty beneficial for you guys?
Well, absolutely. We love this time of year. You know, after we get on the regional or our final match next week on Tuesday against Johnston, we have about 2 weeks off of our regional pairings or our regional starts. So for us, we use that as an opportunity to go back to the basics. We take that first week and do nothing but fundamental work. We spend probably, you know, an hour and a half in each one of those practices doing breakdown individual drills. And it really kind of brings the kids back to where they need to be. And sometimes in the middle of the season, we lose focus on the fundamental piece because there's so much to prep for, so many games, so many teams to prep for on Saturdays. And then you got big matches on Tuesday nights and those kind of things. So this is a great time of season to get the kids back into the mindset of what's important, which is obviously always the fundamentals.
All right, Joe, I know you got a practice to head off to, so we'll cut you loose at this point, but thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate the opportunity to let our kids get basically just getting out in the public and letting being heard and all that stuff. So we appreciate Anchor Fanatic having us on, and, you know, obviously I have a realty here too, letting us come in and do this with you.
You bet. We'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They are able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's S-T-A-N-B-R-O-U-G-H, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another episode of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.